meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program. I pray that you are having an amazing, wonderful, awesome, terrific day. Throw in a few other adjectives there if you would like, but we want you to be blessed. We want to pray today that this half hour that you spend with us is going to be a half hour well invested. We are talking today about things that are vying to lead us and lead us specifically to an undesirable end. We're kind of starting off because I found that if we can prevent somebody from being led down the primrose path, that it's a whole lot easier to prevent them from going down that path than it is to retrieve them and restore them and put them back where on the path they were supposed to be in the first place. So that's really the principle that we're looking at. We've been going through the Sermon on the Mount. Then we dealt with the Lord's Prayer. And right now we're dealing with that portion, lead us not into temptation. So yesterday's program, we talked about how the spirit of seduction would try to lead us to death, separation, pain, and deprive us of all the things that God really would like us to have. Just to say this, there's a whole lot of studies that back up that the things that the world is trying to get people to participate in, that there's a lot of studies that say, you know what, those aren't healthy, and they really do bring a lot of harm to people's lives. So with that being said, we're not going to be revisiting that today. We're going to be moving on to something that maybe that's not something that touches your life, but today we're going to be talking about the desire that Satan has to use several different aspects of life to lead us into poverty. Okay, have you ever really considered how did I get in this situation? And there can be a lot of different paths. Listen, I was talking to someone and they said that they had a relative who literally made millions and millions of dollars and they ended up absolutely broke. There are people who've won millions and millions of dollars in the lottery and ended up broke. Most of the time, we do not have a money problem. We have a spiritual problem that manifests itself with mismanagement of our funds. And so you need to understand that there is a huge industry that is designed to separate you from your financial resources. What I discovered is that it doesn't take nearly as much money to live on if you don't owe anybody. Okay. Now I'm not there yet. The church is there. The church really is, we're not a big church, but we're able to do a lot because we do not owe money. We don't have a mortgage. Everything that we have done renovation wise through the years, we have done by paying cash for it or put it on a credit card and then paying that credit card at the end of the month. We don't owe anybody anything. We manage our resources, as wisely as we can, because when I first came to the church, it was bankrupt. The our district had to pay off a mortgage, and then we got to pay the district back. But the good news about that was we demonstrated such faithfulness in paying on that loan, that at one point in time we got the balance down underneath what they were giving to church plants. They would make an investment in a local church if they were starting it up. And as a result of that, we got a letter one day and they said, "We have decided to cancel your debt because you have been more faithful than anybody we've ever encountered in taking this." And in 1 month, we went from owing tens of thousands of dollars to owing nothing. And we are so blessed because of that. Because we don't have a mortgage, it keeps us from having to follow all of the rules that the mortgage company would try and put in place because of, to protect their investment. And so it gives us a lot of freedom. The borrower is servant to the lender, the scripture says, and we don't want to be in that place. So we're working towards that goal of being not in a poverty situation, but in a prosperous situation, not just as a church, but in our personal lives as well. So we're going to look at some things today that could lead us to poverty, as the Bible talks about. So let me take you first of all to Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14. And in verse number 23, it says this: "In all labor there is profit, but idle chatter leads only to poverty." There's a footnote down at the bottom of my Bible, and it says another translation of that idle chatter is talk of the lips. And so one of the ways that you can find yourself in a poverty situation is you don't do anything, you just talk about doing something. Okay? There are lots of people that they can talk and talk and talk and talk and talk, but they never do anything. I happen to like a program that comes up on the Golf Channel from and it's a program called Faraday. And he interviews golfers. And on a program a couple of weeks ago, he was interviewing Fred Couples, who is a little bit older than I am, not much, but a little bit older. And he's won the Masters. He's been a very successful golfer. And he was talking about his relationship with his caddy. And he said, I told my caddy that I'm not to be disturbed during this point in time when I am on the practice range," where he was working on his game. And he said, if you know anything about Fred Couples, he's got a back condition that can go out on him at some point in time, and so he has to work on his game, and he's got a time frame that he likes to go and work on it. But if you've ever been with somebody, you can find that you get sucked into a conversation. And Fred Couples said, "So I could be in this situation and be out there on the practice range for 3 hours and found that I have talked for all 3 hours and I haven't worked on my game, and I'm no better for it. I've just had some conversations." So he told his caddy, he said, "Your job is to keep people away from me during the time that I am working on my game. And if you don't do it," and he had a great relationship with this guy, he said, "but I will fire you today if you don't do this." And so the caddy would communicate that to the other players. And if they came up and try and talk to him, it wasn't that he was being antisocial. It was just time for work. And listen, there are a lot of churches, a lot of Christians, where we want to talk about winning souls. We will go to classes about winning souls. We will pray about winning souls. We will go to huge events hoping that there will be souls won. But if we aren't careful, we will find ourselves only talking and not doing. James talks about don't be just hearers of the word, but be doers of the word. And I will take this and I'll put it in a reverse thing as well. Let's not just be talkers of the word. Let's not just be talkers of faith. James also says, I will show you my faith by my actions. I believe it was Francis of Assisi who said, preach the gospel always. Use words when necessary. In other words, a life well lived is going to be received. There are a lot of people who spend a lot of time talking about what they're going to do, and then they never do it. There are a lot of people who like to complain and complain and complain, but they never take any actions to change the situation. I had a staff person at one point in time, and he worked another job as well, and so they were asking him about me, and they said, you know, how would you describe Pastor Bob? And his response to them, it caught me by surprise a little bit, but his answer was driven. You see, I'm a pretty laid back individual when it comes to relationships and things like that. But I also realize that there is a huge responsibility. Somebody asked me one time, says, why do you work so hard for a church that is, you know, no bigger than it is? And my response was, I don't want it to always remain this size. I want us to be constantly reaching new heights and achieving new goals. I don't want to be led to poverty. I want to be led to a place where I can be a blessing. And so today, if you are really, really good at talking and not very good at doing, I want to encourage you, get in action. Get in action, because only talking about it leads to poverty. If all we do is go from meeting to meeting to meeting to meeting to meeting, and we never actually go out and do the Great Commission, what we're going to end up with is a sore throat and empty churches. God doesn't want any to perish, but he wants all to come to everlasting life. So we need to make sure that we do not result in our lives being wasted with doing nothing more than talking. Let me take you to one more. Everything we're going to be talking about today leads to poverty. So now let me throw in let me touch this one first, and then I'll elaborate on it. Proverbs chapter 11. Verse number 24. There is one who scatters, yet increases more, and there is one who withholds more than is right, but it leads to poverty. The point I want to make about this situation is this: selfishness leads to poverty. When we get so fixated on us in the here and the now, it will lead us to poverty. Where we get so concerned about right now that we lose the thought of sowing and reaping. We lose the concept of investing. And there are a lot of people who end up in an impoverished situation, and they're mystified as to how did I get here. And I will tell you that whenever we turn all of our attention on ourselves, it's going to impoverish. What it says here is there's one who scatters and yet increases more, and there's one who withholds more than is right, and it leads to poverty. It was an agrarian society, and if you never sow those seeds, if the Holy Spirit can never prompt you and I, in our modern situation, to be a blessing to someone else, then we're going to have all of our energies and all of our attention internalized, focusing on us. My limited understanding of black holes, and believe me, everybody's understanding of black holes is limited. Some are more limited than others. But from what I have been able to understand from the things of the past, is a star that was designed to light up a solar system instead of turning, or instead of expending its energy and sending it out, it begins to turn all of its attention in on itself, and it collapses on itself, and it becomes smaller and smaller and smaller, and it gets to the point that it is so dark that even light cannot penetrate it. And then it begins to suck up everything that is in its path. Have you ever known someone that was so focused on themselves that they didn't even notice the other people around them? They looked at the other people around them as a resource rather than a person created in the image of God to know God. They looked at them. A con artist would look at anybody as their next mark. You know, you would be amazed at the number of times that people come to the church and they would just flat out lie. You know, I was in Chicago and a man knocked on my door and he said, "Is there anything you can do to help me?" I said, I need some money. And I said, I don't give out money. And he said, "Well, I haven't eaten in a long time," and he really was thin, and the reason for his poverty was because he had an addiction, and I said, "Well, you know what, there was an Italian beef place right across the street from the church that I was on staff at, and I didn't make any money. I was making $80-some a week, and this guy shows up," and I said, "I tell you what, I'll take you over there and I'll buy you a hot dog and fries." I think a hot dog and fries was $3 or something like that. And what he didn't realize was that was going to be my dinner that night. And I took him over there and he really was hungry. He scarfed down that hot dog and fries in no time flat. And I ministered to him and I said, "Now look, I don't want you, you know, taking the money that you didn't just spend on food and going and buying alcohol with it." And he said, "Oh no, no, I don't drink or anything like that." And a couple of nights later, I was running the bus route, taking the kids home, and that had been to church that night. And as I was taking one of the kids to their home, we passed a liquor store, and guess who was coming out of the liquor store? You see, there's addictions that will, you know, that you think that you can't live without, and they will lead you to poverty. There are some very expensive habits. There are financially expensive habits. I remember I was talking with somebody, I don't remember who it was, and they said that they had people that worked for them, and they had to change their payday. They used to pay people at noon on Friday, and they had to change paying them at noon because they would never come back to work on Friday. They would go and they'd cash their paycheck, and by the time they would get home on Friday night, they would be broke for the entire week, because they were so self-centered, self-focused on that immediate need that they had for alcohol or drugs or whatever it might be, that it was literally impoverishing them. Now, what I was going to say earlier is this. any time that we start to focus on our immediate needs and we start mismanaging the money that God gives us, it's going to lead us to poverty. It really will. If you're spending more than you're bringing in, it's going to lead you to poverty. If you're not there yet, if you're still doing that and you're in poverty, it's going to lead you into deeper poverty. So we really need God to deliver us from self so that we can see that God wants to bless us to be a blessing. One more thing that I want to talk about. It's also in Proverbs chapter 21. Proverbs chapter 21 and verse number 5. The plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty, but those of everyone who is hasty surely to poverty. And so hasty plans, things that have got to be done right now, they can lead you to poverty. Call in the next 60 seconds and you too can save loads of money by spending money that you do not have. Tell me if any of this sounds familiar. It's a way that the world operates. There are plenty of things that are urgent in this world. The urgency to buy something that has, you know, hasn't been thought out or anything like that. Those are very, very rare. They should not be the norm. So God has something that's also in this verse, and I've got it written down in another passage of things that we were going to talk about that leads to abundance, and that is this: instead of making hasty plans, which lead to poverty, God says you need to be very diligent in making plans. Verse number 5, the plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty. So you've got one that very, very spontaneous people, very hasty people, people who make decisions without giving it a lot of thought. That's all he says. It's most assuredly going to lead to poverty. He said, but those people who are very diligent in making their plans, it will also have a certain end. And that is this: it is going to lead to plenty, not just enough, but abundance. Now, which destination do we want? Do we want poverty or do we want abundance and plenty? Because those, that to me, that is a much better desire. I tell people, quit believing God just for your needs to be met. I remember when I was in Bible college, There's very few sermons that I remember from Bible college. Very few. But I remember before this one particular chapel service that I had prayed. I was 18 or 19 years old, and I had prayed, and I had said, God, I'm not asking you for much. I'm just asking you that you will provide enough that my needs will be met. I remember praying that prayer very, very clearly. And I go to chapel one day, and the speaker, and I can still remember the speaker, he said, there are a lot of people who go around and they pray, God, I'm not asking to get rich or anything like that. I'm just asking that my needs would be met. And it's all of a sudden he's got my attention because he's talking about the prayer that I just prayed. And he followed that up with this sentence: what a selfish prayer. What a selfish prayer. And now all of a sudden, I'm saying, what in the world? And he said, God is not a God who just wants to meet your needs. He wants to bless you and make you a blessing so that you can bless others around you. And all of a sudden, I came out of that spiritual haze that I was in. You see, many times the devil can disguise selfish goals in godly garb, make it seem like it's something that is so wonderful, and in actuality, it is something that is extremely selfish. And the result of that is poverty. I tell you, I believe that God, in his infinite wisdom, can give you and I plans, diligent plans, godly plans, that he can lead us from where we are to places of abundance, places of plenty, places of joy, places of effectiveness. I believe that God is able to do that. So today I want to invite you to get off of the path to poverty. I want you to stop only talking about things. I want you to be doing things. There was a person that one time wanted me to enter into a business partnership with them, and I prayed about it, and God said, don't do it. And I said, okay. He said, that's a person that doesn't ever pull the string. They talk about it, but then when it comes time to execute the plan, they don't execute it. Let's not be people that just talk about reaching the lost. Let's be people who reach the lost. Let's not just be concerned about us being saved and our families being saved. Let's be concerned about reaching this world that Jesus died to save. We don't want to be selfish believers, and let's, instead of making hasty plans, let's make diligent plans. If you're a businessman, God can give you godly insight on how to grow your business. And if you're in a situation, God can give you a plan on how to get out of your mess. And if you and I will make diligent plans, he's going to lead us to that place where we have plenty to be a blessing to those around us. God bless you. You have a marvelous day. We will see you next time right here on the Refresh Radio Broadcast.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
We know where the Spirit of the Lord is. Kingdom.